Today we're continuing our sermon series on download the application. Download the application. And really it's kind of a simple thing, going from revelation to application. It's one thing when we understand something about God, but what do we do with that? Is it good enough just understanding something, or we need to do something with that? So for the kids this morning, here's some of the pictures. Sven, Hannah, Riker, that is for you guys. So this morning, if you guys want to draw, here's a couple options, okay? You can draw either a strong, strong man like God, like a strong God. As strong, like, you know, think about an image or like a person as strong as you can make him. Maybe like a warrior. Maybe you want to make him with swords and shields and stuff like that. Or maybe you want to have someone singing. Someone singing. Maybe someone singing or notes or something about music and about songs. So it's going to be about strength, about songs. Something like that. Maybe you guys want to draw so we can see some of those pictures afterwards, okay? You guys got it? Something about music, maybe someone singing, or maybe a strongman or a warrior. You guys can draw something like that, so, or all of the above, okay? So, the rest of us adults, if we can turn to Exodus 15, if you have YouVersion, like I said, it's already there. I really want to encourage this church to be using YouVersion, to be checking this out. So if you have the Bible app on your phones or on a tablet, check out the YouVersion app. The scriptures are already in there. You guys don't have to be turning to it or anything like that. We're not going to have them up here on the screens. We want you guys to be checking it out either on your Bibles, turning your Bibles, or like I said, on your phone right there. So if you're going to get into YouVersion or Bible.com, if you just want to use the internet, go to the live events. Okay, it's a menu on the left-hand side. Looks like a Wi-Fi signal. Click on there, then search for Allentown Victory. You'll see the sermon title, Download the Application. Just click on that. It's about three things down on there. Download the application, and you'll have everything that we're talking about today on there. So today I'm preaching three messages. Everyone say three messages. You're getting three sermons today for the price of one. All right? Well, not really the price, but anyway, three messages today. And so, you know, we just tell you a quick little story. I don't know if this was stupid or not, but we went to the fair last week, all right, and we played some games. Those rides are so expensive at the Allentown Fair, it's ridiculous. Can I hear an amen from any parents? Those rides are expensive. Anyway, $5 for one ride is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm not here about ranting on rides, but I decided to play some games, and we played a game where we got some goldfish. And so we won three goldfish. And so we came home, and I bought this little bowl for our goldfish, and we stuck them in there, right, Hannah? We named each of the goldfish. And so I'm thinking, okay, great, it's our girl's first pet, right? They got some goldfish. They each got one, you know, named Elsa, Daddy-O, and Nemo. So, yeah, Olivia named it Daddy-O. So anyway, and so we got three fish. We put in a little fish bowl. I bought this fish bowl. And then I found out, well, now this fish bowl doesn't work. It's actually too small for three goldfish. They're supposed to be in a 10-gallon tank per one goldfish. I'm like, holy cow. And then the whole little bowl I got, it gets dirty super quick. And so here I am now thinking I'm getting a real easy maintenance little fish here. I won at the fair, no big deal. And now I'm starting to get it over my head. I had to buy a little bowl at Walmart. Now I'm having to realize I'm having to get something bigger, and this is not going to work. And now I need technically a 30-gallon tank for three little goldfish that probably cost less than a dollar, you know, to buy. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I just get myself into? I had no idea. I just walked into this thing thinking this would be nice, and now ended up being a lot more. Well, thank God there was a neighbor across the street. They were selling a tank. Their tank was huge. It's a 55-gallon tank. But it's a garage sale, so we got it extremely cheap, which was nice. But anyway, so now I have a 55-gallon aquarium. It had all the filters and everything with it, you know, which is nice. Again, I didn't have to pay anything extra for that. But again, I was in over my head, and now the filters didn't work. Now I have all these things, and now I have to figure out the filters, and then I realized that I threw some things on the filters that the filters needed, and so now the whole 55-gallon tank was getting all cloudy. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm just not winning here. What's going on? And so anyway, I finally messed around with the filters, got them working, then I realized I need to get some more things for inside. But, you know, I think about this, that this sometimes our Christian life. You know, we see God, we see something good, we start moving towards it, and then we realize, oh wow, there's a lot more to this than what I realized. All of it's beautiful. An aquarium is beautiful. I mean, if everyone's ever had an aquarium, everyone's been to an aquarium, I mean, fish and floating is gorgeous. But, you know, there is some maintenance, some work to it. But if you don't know what you're doing when you're getting into it, you can get over your head. And, you know, I got into these filters and I realized there were some things that were missing. And, again, there are things in our life. You know, here's what happens. If we start moving towards something and we get frustrated, this isn't working. I could have easily said, all right, these goldfish are going to go to heaven. All right, that's it. You know, it'll be a lot easier, but I'm thinking, oh, let's make my girls happy. And, you know, in our Christian life, we can say, all right, forget it. I tried it and it didn't work. I'm just throwing the rest of it out. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with the goldfish. There was nothing wrong with the bowl that I had. There was nothing wrong with some of the pieces that I got and some of the things that I did. There's nothing wrong with that per se. But how I put it all together was not right. I was missing things. So the problem was not the fish. The problem was not this. The problem was my understanding of how things work. And in Christianity, it's a lot of the same way. We don't understand how things work, and we expect everything just to be fine and dandy. We hear a good message, and we think, this is great, and we apply it, but we realize that we're still missing something. And here's the thing. We cannot throw out the destination. We cannot throw out Christianity. We cannot throw out God because we didn't get all the pieces together yet. And here's the thing. You're never going to get all everything. You're not going to have all the knowledge in the world. But what I want to encourage you is that if you come across a wall, you come across something that doesn't work yet, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw out the fish with the aquarium water. You know, you got to throw out the aquarium water, though, right? Anyway, I found that out. And so, but we gotta take, all right, Lord, what do I need to do to adjust? And here's the thing. In our Christian life, there are constant adjustments. There are constant things that we need. Like the filters. There's sometimes, you know, there's one thing for filter. I thought each one needs one little filter. Well, one of them needs three filters in it. Like three different sponges and two different kinds of sponges inside the filter. I'm like, holy cow. Well, I didn't realize that. And if you don't look at the directions, you're going to miss out on some things that God wants in your life. You might have one direction down. You might have something down that God gave you that's great, but perhaps we're missing some things. And this is kind of where download the application comes in, because here it is that we get a revelation from God. We look in the Word and we think, oh, wow, this is beautiful. This is awesome. And I would say that in particular, in all the churches, I'm a charismatic Christian, okay? But I also find a lot of faults in the charismatic church. And what happens a lot of times, charismatic Christians, we get a revelation. We find something that's great. And that's it. We get excited about it. We get really excited about it. Then we tell all our friends about it. And this and that, but we don't do anything with it. We don't really apply it in our life. We don't actually take the Word and see how it moves in our life. So this is where download the application, the series. We're talking about, okay, what happens when we get a revelation from God? What do we do with it? What are we missing? Is there something that we're not perhaps assimilating correct in our life? Is there something else that we need? Is there another filter that perhaps needs to be in the system here so that we get out the dirty water and we get in the clean water? You know, is there something else that perhaps that in our walk, you know, if there's no fruit, we need to examine what's going on. If our tank or if our life is constantly getting dirty, then we need to realize, okay, part of this is normal, but if this is getting dirty too quick, perhaps I'm doing something I need to cut out. Perhaps I'm adding too much foods, too much junk food here that's dirtying up things. Perhaps I'm doing too much of this and we need to remove this part and we need to add this in here. So I just say that look, if something's missing, don't be discouraged by that. Don't throw out things. Keep pursuing. But here's the thing. You need to get in your mindset right off the bat. I will be making adjustments for the rest of my life. I will be making adjustments for the rest of my life. Now, you know, I appreciate what Brian did today. He stopped the one song, Awesome is the Lord. And then what did he say? He's like, come on, is this how we lift our hands? It says, raise your hands, all you people, all you nations. Shout out to God. And he said, you know, come on, let's raise our hands. And it's how I feel sometimes at church, is that, hey, I'm preaching a message, but what are we doing with the message? Are we actually listening? Are we actually assimilating? Are we raising our hands? Are we doing something with what's being said? Are we taking the worship and moving with it? Are we going to be breathing this week? All right? So look, it comes back to the kind of that mindset talked about. When we get a revelation, we say, oh, that's good, but we don't do anything with it. Same thing, we come to church and some of you fought really hard to be here this morning. Some of you are tired, some of you are exhausted, some of you got fights this morning. I understand that. But you're coming here and it's not just to clock into church, but it's to do something with what you're hearing. And I want to encourage you again. We've been talking this the past few months, but I want to tell you how important it is. All right? Because one thing you're hearing and you're thinking, that's great, Pastor Matthew, that's great. I don't really want to hear that's great or this and that. I want to hear that we're moving, we're doing something. That we're taking the Word, we're taking something from the worship that God's showing us, and we're moving in it, okay? So, number one, message number one here is this, is that we will need to be assimilating the Word of God. So, something that we're going to be doing on Sunday mornings, I'll tell you guys in about a little bit, but we're going to do some trainings on Sunday mornings, kind of like a Sunday school. And one of the things I want to show you guys is this gentleman named David Platt, Pastor David Platt, and something that he talks about how to study the Word of God. And there's four basic steps in studying the Word of God. Okay, that I want to encourage and just tell you real quick. This is message number one. If you're taking notes, take notes. If you have YouVersion, YouVersion, but You can again, just email notes to yourself from the YouVersion app. But step number one is to observe. When you're reading the Word of God, so let's take us into our reading of the Word of God. You need to observe what's being said. So if I take a scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Nehemiah 8:10. Let's just take that. So what's being said? I observe right now that it's saying that the Lord, the joy of the Lord, it's talking about joy, it's talking about the Lord, it's talking about strength. I'm observing what it's saying in there. I'm taking the point saying, okay, what does the scripture say? The thing, if you read scripture, which I hope we do, you're reading stuff, but what is it saying? What are the points? What are the things that are, what is it really saying in there? Okay? And it requires some examination. Again, remember, you can have a filter and have it working, but if you don't have the right things in there, the filter's not working properly. So again, I'm talking about getting the right things in so we can apply the word and see the fruitfulness of what God has for us in Christianity. Okay? So, again, we need to observe. Observe what the scripture's saying, number one. Number two, understand its context. What's the scripture saying before and after that? What just happened in Nehemiah 8:10 before that? Well, they just got done finishing the wall. They got done and completed that. The reading of the scripture was taking place. They just got done, and then they're saying the scripture, the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, here's what happens, and I'm going to go back. I'm picking on charismatics because I'm one, all right? I'm picking on, so we take that scripture, and then we can twist it. This is what happens with a lot of Christians, that we take a scripture and we twist it, and we think it means something else than what it means because we don't actually look into the context. We don't understand what's being said before or after that. We take a scripture and say, well, this is what the Lord's telling me. And we quickly move to the last point, which is application. But before, when you look in scripture, if you do not want to get off, okay? But let me backtrack a little bit. I'm going to paint another picture here. If you're building a house and you forget to put a foundation in, your house is going to be off down the line. You might have a beautiful house, but if you did not put a foundation on underneath your house, it quickly can crumble with the sand, with rain, or something else. Same thing happens when you're reading scripture. Unless we get some foundational things set straight, which is first observing, and number two, what is the context? What is the scripture talking about? What do I want the scripture to talk about? Not, what does this mean in my life right away? You don't go there right away with the Bible. First, you understand, what's the Bible saying? Who is the Bible speaking to? Okay? What is this verse? Who are they speaking to in the scripture verse? All right? When God was revealed here, who was he speaking to? What happened before that? What happened after that? Understand the scripture. Begin looking at the context before and after it. Then after you've observed the points, what it's saying, after you begin understanding the context, now you have a foundation to start building on. Now, how does this relate to me? How does this relate into my life? How does this relate to what I'm dealing with? Well, I need joy, right? So we can say, just for that scripture, I need joy. I need the joy of the Lord. I need strength. So we can just relate right there that we need joy and we need strength. Now, number four, how do I apply it in my life? Once you understand the context, that this was done finishing a wall, a project that was waiting for years upon years upon years, you know, then you begin to understand the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not just about the joy of salvation. It's the joy of something being completed that was done, a huge task that's been waiting for a long time, and someone took up the mission, completed it, and God was happy with what was done. He was happy with an action. He was happy with a completed task. He was happy that they came in and battled the enemy. All right, they came against a lot of stuff, and they came in, and all of a sudden they completed it because they kept the mission, they kept going forward, and 52 days the wall was completed. And they sensed the joy of the Lord, and that was their strength. Okay? Again, now how can that apply to me? Well, I know that when God asks me to do something and I complete it, I know that I can sense his joy in a completed act of obedience. Okay, I can sense the strength that comes from his pleasure. Okay? Now that's not actually the sermon. But what I'm talking about is, again, those four things and just establishing that first and foremost. Observe. Understand its context. How does this relate to me? And then number four, how does this apply to me, to my mindsets, to my thinking? Okay, we've been talking about in our reflect time that we want to get this reflecting. We want to understand what is it saying to me and what do I do with it? How do I apply this in my life? You need to understand perhaps there's a mindset that you have that's incorrect and the scripture confronts that mindset. Well, that's great. What do I do with that? But you know, once something comes to the fruition of your mind, you got to keep working on it. Keep bringing it up the rest of the week. Keep thinking about it. Meditate on the Word of God till truth begins resounding inside of you. So what do you do with something that confronts your thinking? Do you just think, okay, great, I got a new thought. That's wonderful. I got a new thought that's different. Well, what do you do with that thought now? Take it into your week. Begin thinking about it. Begin meditating on the Word of God. Begin thinking about the implications of this Word upon my thought life, upon my thinking now. How does it affect my life? How will I let it affect my life? I know I'm talking a lot there, but now we're going to apply it to some scripture. So if you have your scripture, your Bible, turn to Exodus 15. If you have a new version, let's turn there. Exodus 15, verse 1, okay? Verse 1 through 5. It says that then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord. This is message number 2. Then the Moses and children, I'm going to start from verse 1 again. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths has covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. So, first of all, let's look at observe. Now, we're talking about download the application. We're talking about getting a revelation of who God is. Last week we talked about David. Got a revelation that God delights in him. That God is for him, right? Not against him. So, what are the revelations of God? I'm going to ask you specific questions. Lots of things you can see in the scripture. Okay, lots of things we can pull out. But specifically, now I'm going to ask for a response. What do you see the revelations the children of Israel are getting of God? Who do they understand he is? Protection. Okay, yeah. What are the words specifically used in the scripture that they say the Lord is? Warrior strength. Yep. Salvation, song. Triumphant. Yep. Yet these are all words to describe the Lord here. So they get some revelations of the Lord right here. So you just observed a little bit of what the scripture was saying. Okay? And this is just verse 2 and 3, right? We just observed. Now, what's the context of this? There's a lot more we could observe from this, but I'm going a little bit fast, right? So what's the context of the scripture? What just happened before Exodus 15? Anyone know? Sven, you know what happened beforehand? No? Okay, you just read. Anyone know what happened before Exodus 15? What are they singing about? Why are they singing? This is a song. Do you know that they're singing right here? Why are they singing this song? The Red Sea? What happened at the Red Sea? Right. And right before that, they were there in Israel. The Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. There were the 10 plagues. Everyone know about the 10 plagues that took place? And they affected, and you know, the last one was the killing. Well, was firstborns didn't make it, okay? And so anyway, I'm going to get to that in another minute here, a couple minutes. But in any case, so you see that right before this, why are they singing a song? Well, they just saw God's hand mightily save them. They just saw the Red Sea part into two things and the dry walls happen. I don't believe this is any kind of figurative thing. I believe wholeheartedly this actually took place. And all of a sudden they walked across dry land. They got to their side. Moses puts his arms down. And all of a sudden the waters come back on the Egyptians that try to come against them. So here Israel finally after 470 years or so, they're in captivity here. They're slaves. And now they are free and the Egyptians were taken over. God had fought for them. They didn't do any fighting, okay? Now here's one thing. We'll look at this in a second, that he's a warrior, but this is where they're taking us. He's a warrior. He fought for them. And all of a sudden, they cross through dry ground. They cross safely. And now that out of that exuberance, out of them seeing God, now comes this song that Miriam and the people of Israel start singing. These are not the revelations of Moses. This is the revelation of the children of Israel. What's interesting is that we look later on, and we'll see that Israel forgot really quickly who God was. And this is our tendency as well. So we need to be constantly thinking about it. But here's this song. And so we understand his context now. We understand that this song, these words, these revelations just came from them being delivered. They're excited. They've just seen something amazing happen, right? Now, how does this relate to you? How does this relate to you? Well, now understand the context, understanding what it says. Well, I know for my life, I need strength. How many people here need strength? How many would love to be able to just sing just this beautiful song to God from your heart? You know, I love to be able to sing. I can't sing well, but I love to be able to sing truly from my heart to God. I want it to be sincere and real. You know, how many of you say that He is my God? He is my personal God. He is my, He belongs to me. You know that He's personal to you. He's not just some God. He is my God. It says that He's my salvation. Well, we know that God saved us, but they just experienced an actual point of salvation. They've experienced deliverance from the enemy. They experienced the salvation of God in a very tangible and different way from their circumstances, okay? And then they say, God's a warrior. Well, yeah, I need God's warrior spirit. God is not just, He's a God of love, but He loves His people and He fights for us. Just like if you're a parent, if someone comes upon your kid, if some adult comes and try to hurt your kid, guess what? The warrior in you is going to come out. You know, you're going to defend your child. And here God defends His children, takes care of them, looks after them, delivers them. So God's a warrior. So we see how this stuff can relate to us. Now, how does it apply to us? How do these revelations of God apply? How do we apply them? So here are just some of my thoughts of how I apply it to myself. I know, again, that I need strength. But I know that He is my strength. So it says here, the Lord is our strength. Here's a revelation from God that the Lord God is my strength. Okay? Now just meditate on that for a minute. He's a child of Israel's strength, but this is true for us. This applies to us, that He is my strength when I need it. There are times when I'm up against Red Sea walls. There are times where I do not see how this is going to happen, but God, I know God directed me here, and I know that right now I feel weak. I know that right now my knees seem to be trembling. There's fear that wants to come upon me, but no, God is my strength. And God delivered them, and just knowing His faithfulness gives me strength. Just knowing that His presence is with me gives me strength. So again, how are we applying this in our life? It's much more powerful and much more useful when we understand a little bit more about it, okay? He is my strength. God wants to be your strength here today. There are times in my life where I feel like I've had no strength to praise God. I can come in here on Sunday morning and I feel weak as anything. But yet I come and I say, God, I'm going to give You whatever ounce of strength that I have because You're my strength. You're my source. You're my source of finances. You're my source when I'm weak in finances, when I'm weak in emotional strength. Lord, I know that You are my strength. I know, for example, I'm supposed to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get up. And there are times when my girls get up and I don't have the strength. But there are other times, and there's times when I have the strength and I get up at 5 o'clock. But here's what I know, that when I know that God wants me to do something, and I'm weak, all right? And I know that God says, go and do it. For example, the other night, when my girls were up, I was up till about 12 o'clock at night, and then my girls get up at 4:30, and then I'm dealing with it, and then I felt I was just supposed to keep staying up then. Well, I wanted to go back to bed, especially since I was up later than I expected. But I pulled on God my strength. And all of a sudden, I had strength. I was up. I didn't need caffeine. In that moment, I took time and I prayed to Him. Like some of you want to fall asleep right now. Look, God's your strength. Let's call upon Him. He can strengthen you for these moments. Why? Because He has something here for you. He has something here for you. If God has called you to do something, God is going to meet you in those moments. And you might feel weak. You might have done something stupid the night before or the day before. You might have messed up. You might have started going in direction. You might have started talking to somebody and building a relationship that you weren't supposed to. You might have started going down a path of something of the enemy, of witchcraft, of doing something rebellious. That rebellion is like witchcraft. Doing something else that you shouldn't do, and you know you've done wrong. And now God says, hey, I want you to do this. Well, God, I can't. I messed up. You understand, God, your strength. Well, how can God be my strength when I mess up? Well, you come to Him and He forgives you. He cleans you up. Man, He cleans you up and He makes you perfectly clean. You come to Him, you can repent and say, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I want to pursue You, God. And you come to Him and He's your strength. And He's also in that moment your salvation, right? He delivers you. You can experience His deliverance at that moment. But even more than that, you can keep going and say, God, I need strength. And He can give you physical strength. He can give you emotional strength when you are wore out. I think all of us here can understand emotional stress. When you are wore out, you have no mental capacity to think anymore, to process. Do you know that God can give you supernatural strength for your emotions, for your mental faculties, to understand, to grasp things? Here's the real question. Do you want it? Well, of course I want it. Well, no. Yeah, I understand you might say you want it. You might desire, but desiring and pursuing are two different things. I desire to go to Tahiti, right? That's great, but that doesn't get me to Tahiti, does it? Right? My desire, me standing here saying, I want to go to Tahiti, but that doesn't get me there. So what are you doing to get strength? Are you actually coming to God and saying, God, I want strength for this moment right now, God. I know that you're here. I believe that you have something for me. You got to start with that. You are not going to move and call upon God if you don't believe that God has you where he has you. If you don't believe that God's called you to go, you're not going to cut out whatever trash or whatever things that are blocking you from where God's called you to go if you don't know God's called you to go there. You got to start with that. God, what do you want me to do? God, what is the act of obedience? What is this that I'm supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to pursue you? You need to establish that pursuit and then say, God, I'm going to go after you. Now, how do we apply it? Well, we got to ask God, God, I need your strength for this moment. God, I want you to be my song. You know, we were singing that just even today in a couple songs here. I think about this, where they are so overwhelmed with God. They are so overwhelmed with the sight of him that he becomes their song. That's all they think about is God. That's all that's on their mind. That's consuming their thoughts that God just, they just saw a Red Sea split. They just saw the Egyptians that tormented them now done away with. They are amazed, and now they are consumed with the thought of God. They can't help but singing a song for God. I know there's times in my life where there's been so much joy, so much content. There's times where I sing over my girls. I have songs that I sang for each of my girls. It's a song that I made up out of nowhere, you know. I have Olivia. I'm not going to sing the song for you. But, you know, it's just a song because I'm just so in love with them. And just a song comes up and I just start singing to them. Why? Because they're consuming my thoughts. My love, my affection is set upon them. And I begin thinking about them. And all of a sudden my joy bubbles up into song. And here is this moment where they are bubbling up into song for God. This is a whole song that they're singing. When was the last time that God was your song? Where all of a sudden you were so consumed with him, but you couldn't help but sing to him. Well, when you were so breathing him in and out, your pursuit of him was so passionate. When you pursued him with nothing else, you know what really breeds passion? Sacrifice. You know you're passionate about something when you begin sacrificing for it. When you begin sacrificing your time, your efforts, when you begin sacrificing the other things you want for God, that's when your passion begins kicking in. That's when you know you really want something. That's when you come to God and say, God, I love you. God, I put this to the side. I put this to the side. God, because I want you. You have not only established your desire for God, but in your action, you have said it as well. And that means more to you as well when you do that. When you sacrifice and say, God, here I am. God, I want more of you. And all of a sudden, you just get overwhelmed with God. You get beside yourself. And you begin singing to God how much you love him, how much you care for him, how much you are thankful for everything he's done. When you begin thinking about his faithfulness, and you begin singing out, when was the last time that happened? Again, revelation to application. Oh, I know God's beautiful, but when was the last time you were overwhelmed by his beauty? When was the last time you let that capture everything about you? Here they're singing about God is my salvation. I think about the times where God has not just saved me, I know, from sin. I know he saved me from sin. I know he saved me from this. But he saved me from circumstances where people were out to hurt me, where I've been mugged before. I've had people try to beat me up before. And God has saved me and delivered me from actual circumstances in my life. And how about yourself? God has saved you, right? And God will save you. If God says, hey, I want you to go to downtown Allentown. I want you to begin to share the love of God with somebody else. But God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid my car's going to be broken into. I'm afraid that someone's going to hurt me over there. Well, look, don't go by yourself. Go two by two. Again, this is where we can apply some of the rest of the Bible. The Bible says to go out two by two in the New Testament. So go out two by two. But if he tells you to go by yourself, I don't know. You know, do it. But if you can go with someone else, go with somebody else. And go down there. And God says, God will save you. God calls you in the midst of darkness. If God says, go here, God will protect you. And God will deliver you. He will be your salvation. If God says, hey, go into the wilderness. Go into this wilderness. It's not because that's your final destination. The wilderness was just the way to the promised land. Okay? But if God says, go there, God's going to save you. If you say, God, I can't go here. God, I can't do this mission. I can't go overseas here, God. God, I don't have time for this. God, I can't go that. Well, let me ask you, are you asking the God of your salvation to come in that moment? Are you saying, well, my job doesn't let me do this. I can't do this because I need finances here. I can't go here. Well, are you asking the God of salvation to come in? Well, you know, guess what? You won't see him then. It's fine. You won't see him. God can be applied to your everyday situation and what you need. The question is, are you calling upon him? The God can make a way where there seems to be no way. And again, this is applicable to this scripture right here. God made a way in the Red Sea where it seemed like they could not get out. They had something that was keeping them from what God had for them. And that thing that stood in the way, God delivered them. And God got out of the way and delivered them from the enemies that were chasing them down. Perhaps you have creditors chasing you down. Perhaps you have someone that's hurt and try to chase you down. God can be your salvation, not just from sin, but also from circumstances. The question is, are you calling upon God? Have you applied that into your life? Have you got the revelation from God yet that God is your salvation? Have you taken that time, not just from sin, again, from circumstances as well? So here, and then we talked about my God, that He's a personal God. I'm going to skip that for a moment and talk about how God is a warrior. You know, He's a man of war is what it says in there. No translation says that He's a warrior. He fights for you. He fights for me. God fights for me. He is my warrior. He wars on my behalf. There are things that are happening in the spiritual realm that you don't even know about. When you begin saying, God, let's just say salvation. God, You are the God of my salvation. God, save me, deliver me in this instance. In those moments, there are wars taking place in the heavenly realms. There are things that begin moving that you do not see yet. And if you give up too soon, if you give up on those fish too soon, they'll die. Fine, that's fine. Your dream, your prayer could die if you give up too soon. Know that when you are praying something, God is moving. There are angels moving on your behalf. And deliverance is happening. God is fighting. God fights for you. He fights for you. When you're, man, you're praying, you're believing for something, guess what? God is fighting. God is doing something that you cannot see. But again, you need to believe that, get that revelation of God, and then apply it in your life. Yes, thank You that You're God, You're my salvation. But that revelation will not be complete in your life until you apply it. Okay, but you need to start by looking in Scripture. What does He say? What does God say about the God of salvation? That God's a man of war. Well, it talks about other Scriptures that God's a warrior, that God fights in our behalf, that He stirs up His zeal like a man of war. It talks about that in Isaiah. You begin looking at those Scriptures and realize that God is aggressive. There are times where God fights. There are times where you don't have to do anything. All you can do is pray and God finishes the war. And then there's other times where God says, no, I want you to fight. That doesn't mean actually like battle someone, but He might say, look, I want you to go to the court system and I want you to begin saying this and this to this person. I want you to go up to your boss and I want you to tell them that you don't agree with this moral standard that they've set in your job. I want you to confront this. I want you to go here and tell this. And God might say, I want you to be in the fight. I want you to begin saying and speaking up. God might use you as a warrior. Sometimes we think that there's people that say, oh, God will fight my battles. That's true. He'll fight some of your battles, but that's an incomplete doctrine. That's an incomplete understanding of Scripture if you think that God, it will fight all the battles for you. Well, yes, but He also equips you to fight. There's both. There'll be times where He says that I'll fight for you, you don't have to do anything. There'll be other times that I want you to fight. I want you to get in the battle. But here's what happens. We begin fighting, we get obsessed, and we go too far in the battle. And then we come back to this doctrine that says, God, You fight all my battles, I don't have to do anything. Now I'm talking to some people here today. Okay? Particularly right there with that revelation. Okay? Where we say, God, I want to do this, and we get over-obsessed. I do this. I'm an obsessive person. I can get over-addictive to things. Okay? When I want to do something, I get all in. Okay? And we get all in. We put our hands in too much. We go beyond what God has said to do. And now, in that moment, now we have thrown out the mission that God has given us. And we say, God, you know what? I just need to just not do anything anymore. I need to back up because, God, You will fight for me. Well, yes, that's true, but it's a wrong application of doctrine. It's true that God will fight for you, but did God tell you in that moment that He will fight for you? Did God say, you don't have to do anything? Now, God might say, hey, you messed up, now don't do anything for a few minutes or for a few days or a few weeks, and then I'm going to have you engage back in the battle again. I'm going to have you talk to your bosses. I'm going to have you go over here and talk with your neighbors. Go over here and talk with your friends. I want you to confront this situation that's going on. There are times where God says, hey, don't do anything, I'm going to do it. There's other times where God says, engage. Okay, the problem is the signs we go from one extent to the other and think that God only does this. God, there's a lot of things that God does that we don't understand. That's why I encourage you to come out to see that movie, The Holy Ghost. And you'll see some different ways that God begins moving. So again, He's a man of war. So it says, I'm not going to be afraid. How does this apply to me? I'm not going to be afraid to go forward in what God has called me to go forward in. I'm not going to be afraid to go on the front line if God tells me to go on the front line. Why? Because God is a warrior. I know I'm talking fast here, but I hope you're catching some of this. You might not be able to catch all of what I'm saying today, but catching some of this here today. Okay? He's a man of war. And then I'm going to talk, this is the third sermon, and I'll be real quick with this. For some people are going to really like this. I don't know. So here's a revelation that I got here in Numbers. I think I have it in YouVersion, chapter 3. It talks about how God, the 10th plague that took place. Okay? I don't want to talk about it too in depth. But the 10th plague where they had to put the blood of the lamb on top of their doorpost, and the Egyptians, the firstborn, passed away. But the Israelites who had the blood on the post, that didn't. And so it says in Numbers that it says And I was talking about it. I was talking about different people. I was talking about the numbering people, talking about sanctification. I won't get too far into that. But it said basically that at that moment, when that took place, when that 10th plague took place, that God had sanctified all the firstborn of Israel. In Numbers 3. There, okay? That in that moment, some of you might never heard this revelation. To me, this was, I knew about it, but this I never saw this scripture before. Okay? And so all of a sudden I saw that God sanctified, in the moment of the 10th plague, God was sanctifying the firstborn of all the children of Israel to be priests unto God. Now I've talked about that, how God wanted not just the Levites to be priests, but he wanted all of Israel. But talking about in that scripture, how that God was sanctifying. How did God do that? Sanctification means he sets us apart. Okay? God's a holy God. He set them apart. Here he set the firstborn of all of Israel apart. Okay? He set them all apart by saying, okay, the Egyptians, these ones are going to pass away, but if you put the blood, you are now set apart. And he set apart the firstborns of Israel. So that's great. Great revelation of God. He's a sanctifier. He sanctified them. But here's what happens that, well, they transgressed. So now when they all built an idol, when they went into the wilderness, they built this idol. And now all these children of Israel transgressed except for the Levites. So instead of now the firstborn being the priest of all of Israel, only the Levites are now priests. And this happened because they sinned, they messed up. But the Levites did in that moment. So they were set apart. So anyway, that's a great revelation, right? How does that apply? Here's what I want to talk about. Here's the point of why I'm sharing that revelation that I got this week. I get different revelations throughout the week. That's great, but what am I going to do with that? How does that actually help me? It can help me if I process it. If I bring it through the filters. If I look and I observe, what is it saying there? What do I do with this? How does this apply to my life, that God is a sanctifier? Well, you know what? Last week, what did we do? Okay, so I brought this through the filter. I observed it. I looked at this context. What was it talking about? Okay, the 10th plague. I went back, looked at that, right? Looked to understand that. Number three, how does this relate to me? Well, I know that God wants to set me apart. I know that God has sanctified me. I know that God has called me a royal priest. I know that he's called all of us to that. And so the part of that, though, is that God wants me to be set apart from this world. He wants me to be set apart. He wants me to come under the blood covering and to be set apart for him. And so God, at the same time, wants me to be set. Last week, you know, we made that step, say, God, I'm going to pursue you. God, I made a step. I made some things, and I say, God, this week I got off a little bit in my pursuit, but I'm going to pursue you once again. I say, God, I want to be set apart. I'm going to go in this process again of sanctification and follow you wholeheartedly. Again, I didn't just see the revelation. I'm saying, God, this applies to me. God, this revelation of who you are, that you are the sanctifier. You set apart ones. Lord, you have set apart me, and I'm choosing to be set apart. And that's how I brought it, because the Levites chose to be set apart. God didn't just pick the Levites at first. He picked all of Israel. But all of Israel messed up. So now he chose the Levites because they said, I'm not going to worship this idol, this golden calf. And so I can choose. Say, God, I want to be set apart. So look, the whole point of this is to bring it back home and say, hey, what are you doing with the revelations you have of God right now? You might be wanting more, 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 more. God, I want to read your word. I want to understand. I want to know more and more. But what are we doing with it? We need to download the application. Observe it. Look at its context. See how it relates. And then apply it in our life. I know that I just gave you a whole bunch. And some of you are just tired of thinking right now. Some of you need to pray for that strength I just talked about right now. Okay? Just to even process some of what was just said right now, okay? But church, I want us to go home. Some of you have a revelation that God is healer. Great, what are we doing with that? Here's the other thing, too, that sometimes we're drinking from too many avenues. We are so thirsty to get more and more understanding, more revelation, that we've gone to bad habits where I'm going to listen to every sermon I can online. I need to listen to this speaker. I need to listen to that over there. I need to gain from this. I need to gain from that. And we actually forsake our own pursuit of God for someone else's pursuit of God. We actually get someone else's relationship. We actually get someone else's revelation. And we actually don't pursue God for the revelation he wants to give us. And so we get on different tracks. And then what happens is that we start consuming the wrong things. Not that these things are bad, but God wants to deal with you in your situation where you're at. God wants to reveal himself to you where you're at. God revealed himself directly to the children of Israel where they were at right there. God wants to talk with you directly. So you're saying, but God, I can't hear you. Well, then that's the revelation you need right now, isn't it? God, I need to know how to hear you. I need to know how to hear your voice. I need to know how to discover you, what you're saying. Because that's going to help me to apply what you're saying into my life to be able to understand and fathom. Again, we might be saying, oh, here, like I said, we can become spiritual junkies in the sense where I need this, I need to hear something new, I need to hear something new. And it sustains us for a moment, the hype of revelation. And the hype's not necessarily wrong, it's the excitement. God, I understand something new about you. But what are we doing with it? If we're not filtering it out into our life, if it's not coming into our actual day-to-day life, what is it doing? We're taking it and spitting it out. It's like having food, right? Oh, Lord, I love the taste of this food. But then we spit the food back out. You know, my father used to do that. It was weird. He used to take food because this was his diet. He would eat food and spit it out. It's like, well, I just want the taste of it. I don't know how he could do that. To me, it's like weird to do that. But as Christians, we do that. We take the food. Oh, my gosh, this tastes so good. This is so great. And then we just go through. It doesn't actually process into our body. It doesn't process into our life. It doesn't affect our life. It only affects our taste buds. And this is what happens with too much revelation, is that we have over-amplified taste buds, but we don't have the nutrition from those vitamins, from those things that happen in the food, in the Word of God. God wants us to get the food. We need to get healthy. We need to get healthy. It's not about tasting new things. It's about taking and processing that which you've already gotten. So think about today. Maybe in your reflect time right now, what are some of the revelations you've gotten from God? Perhaps we need to write some of those things down. And think about, what has God spoken to me? What do I know about God? What do I know that I know that I know that I'm not seeing all the fruit of just yet? What do I know? I know God is this. I know God has shown me this. Or perhaps this week, I know that God revealed this to me. Why did He reveal this to me? What did He try to speak to me? And what do I need to do with it? Let's reflect. So kids, right now, if you have some pictures, kids, Hannah, Haley, Riker. Not Hannah, Haley, Hannah, Sven, Riker. You guys want to come? You guys want to show any pictures that you guys drew? Come on up. What did you draw, buddy? An angel. Kind of like a warring angel, right? Got the sword there. It's got the shield. Got the sun there going on. Tell me what else is in the picture here. Got the musical notes. You see that? He's got a horse, too, riding a horse. Nice. It's like the macho man, right? Got a horse, sword, everything, right? And a what? And a pickaxe. Sweet. All right. He's ready for war, man. What you got, buddy? Hold on, sweetheart. He's battling a snake?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, the blue's the armor. All right. Thank God for the interpretation. That's great, man. So blue armor right there. Cool, man. What do you got, sweetheart? That's what? Oh, cool. That's his arms. All right. He's got long arms. What did you draw? They're singing? He's what? He's preaching. That's the Bible, fruit falling from the tree. What's that's a heart? Cool. So someone's singing, the trees, fruitfulness. Someone preaching. Strength, that's cool. Thank you, sweetheart. So again, these are just the kids, how they process some of the pictures here, some of the things that come to their mind. So, you know, meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the pictures that God's bringing to you. Meditate on the revelations He's given. Get a picture of what God wants to show you. Observe it. Look at it. All right, take it. So, look, we're going to, we have one song here for the Reflect song. This actually kind of goes over the Song of Moses here, or the Song of Children of Israel. Let's take a few moments, just be in silence here for a moment. If you need prayer for anything, feel free to come up front. But I want to take a moment just to think about, what is God speaking to me? And what do I need to do with it? Is there a scripture He's been sharing with me? Do I need to process this? How do I take it in my life? I don't want to just taste the Word of God. I want it in me. I want it to grow in me, my life. What needs to change in my life? So, let's go ahead. Pause for 1 second. Let me close out in prayer here, because I'm going to dismiss it right after this. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for each person here, God, and I thank You for what You're speaking and what You're doing in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, for Your spirit of revelation right now, that You would reveal to us, Lord God, that, Lord, that aspects of You, Lord, that we need right now in these moments. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Open up our minds and our understanding to be able to perceive and receive that which You are speaking to us. And I thank You, Lord, for Your presence. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're saying, Lord. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to process. Help us, Lord God, to, Lord, have the right foundations, Lord God, and see, Lord, that which you are building in our life. And I thank you for, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.